Okay, good morning, everybody. Good morning, welcome again. My name's Matthew, I'm the lead pastor here. So thank you so much for being here. We're actually kicking off, in a way, a new year today. This is sort of the first year of our new annual plan. We're going to have a focus for this next whole year on growing in our experience of God, going deeper and wider in our experience of God. So we're going to focus on that over the next 12 months. And today we're going to start a new series that focuses on that. More about that in a second. But, you know, just looking back, we had a wonderful year that's gone previously. And in terms of our giving, if you didn't know, we announced this last week, but we hit our goal for our annual giving. So absolutely amazing. So thank you so much. I mean, this is just a phenomenally generous community. And we're going to celebrate afterwards, not just that, but just, you know, the year that's gone and the year ahead. After the service, we're going to have a potluck over by our farmhouse, picnic out there. So it's a beautiful day. Please do come and join us. Even if you didn't bring any food, please, there's going to be plenty. Please come and join us afterwards. As I said, we're going to start a new series today, and the series is called God Quest. And we're going to be sort of just kicking off this year of experiencing God by kind of looking at that whole subject matter in perhaps a more light-hearted way than we might do. Sometimes I think our spiritual journeys, our faith, our religion can feel almost like a chore. You know, it can feel like there's stuff to do. We've got to do it better. We've got to be better. Maybe we even feel like it's hard work. We might not necessarily feel like we experience God all the time, or God doesn't necessarily seem present all the time. So what we wanted to do is imagine if we just took the pressure off ourselves. What if we took this approach that, okay, we're going to go on this quest. We're going to try and discover more about God. We're going to try and experience more of God. But we're not going to worry too much about outcomes. You know, and some things are going to go really well. Some things are probably not going to go so well. But we're just not going to worry too much about it. And, you know, Jesus talked a lot about not worrying too much. So I think we're in good company doing that. And so we're taking this analogy of a game. You know, it's a somewhat lighthearted, maybe a slightly tongue-in-cheek approach to this series, where we're thinking about what if we thought about experiencing God like a game, like a video game, where we go into this universe, we go into this world, and there's all kinds of things to be discovered, all kinds of things to be experienced. And so we're going to sort of track with that over the next 4 weeks. I think this whole sort of concept of gaming really kind of draws us in. You know, I don't know whether you're much of a gamer or not. I'm not particularly, actually, so I'll probably blow the metaphor multiple times throughout this series because, you know, some of it's not so familiar with me. But I think what it does with games like that, they draw us in because they kind of capture our imagination, right? I mean, it's amazing how we can conceive of and even create all kinds of different realities. So there's something that appeals to the human consciousness. There's something that appeals to our imagination. I think games also show us that there's more to life than meets the eye, right? There's things to be discovered that aren't immediately apparent. That's the kind of thing that happens in games. And then also, I think it draws us in because we, in some sense, even though we've talked about taking a more lighthearted approach, we kind of enjoy the challenge, right? The struggle, the puzzle solving, the overcoming obstacles and that kind of thing that you get in games. And I think all that is all part of what it means to experience God. That's all part of what it means to be on this kind of a journey, this kind of a quest. Now, I mentioned I'm not particularly much of a gamer myself. In fact, the last game that I played, the last video game I played, was FIFA 98. Okay, so that gives you David Beckham, a very young David Beckham. And I played this game. My wife bought me, lovely woman that she is, she thought I needed to chill out a little bit, and so she bought me a PlayStation, you know, before it was even called PlayStation 1. It was PlayStation, that's what it was. And got me this game, and it was the year of the 1998 World Cup. And we were living in America at the time, and England had actually just lost to Argentina in the quarterfinals. It was that game where Beckham got sent off, Michael Owen scored this incredible goal. We scored a goal in injury time, but got disallowed, and we lost on penalties. You remember that game really well, right? And I was heartbroken. It was devastating. And so this game was meant to sort of help me get over that, because it was British-based. It had all the British commentary on it, you know, from the familiar childhood commentators and that kind of stuff. The trouble was I would play Argentina, and I'd lose every time. And it just wasn't, it didn't help. Until I realized that on this game, you can change the skill levels of the opposition. So I just turned Argentina right down and beat them every time. And then I was like, oh, this is fantastic. It was wonderful catharsis to beat Argentina. So then I was like, okay, anything can happen. Let's bring on the Germans. Let's bring on everybody. And I won the World Cup that year on FIFA 98. I kind of cheated a little bit. Now, there was also, in that package, did anybody else play FIFA 98? I mean, I'm really dating myself here. Anybody alive in 98? Anybody? In that package, in the FIFA 98 package, there was a little bonus disc which had some demonstrations of other games on it. And one of them was Tomb Raider. And so I thought, oh, I'll try it out. And I just got totally hooked. And it's nothing to do with visuals, okay? It's to do with the fact that there was this adventure game where you could go into another world. And I'd played Dungeons and Dragons as a kid and really enjoyed that. But this was a whole different kind of. This was a new universe that you could see and kind of almost feel it. And it was just incredible. All these adventures. So I went out and bought Tomb Raider 2 and then became addicted to that. I just couldn't, you know, those of you who've played some video games maybe can relate to this. So I stopped playing video games, and I've never played a video game since then because I was kind of getting into trouble. But I remember one day going into a bookstore. This is back in the days of Borders, you know, when we used to have real bookstores. So this is way back in 1998. And I'd always pass the section where they'd have cheats for these games. You know, there was a book on Tomb Raider 2, and I'd be like, no, I must resist temptation. I mustn't look up how to solve that problem, whatever. But then one day, I just couldn't resist it, and I flicked through it, and I saw that on the first level, there was a dinosaur, there was a T-Rex, and I was thinking, I've finished the first level, and I never saw that dinosaur. So I went back to the first level, and I explored further, and then I found this T-Rex, I found this dinosaur, and it was just this amazing experience. And again, I say that because I think there's something in us that loves to discover things, right? Discover new things. And that's part of what this game's about, this journey that we're on, this God quest, is just imagine if we could find an experience that perhaps we've never had before. Perhaps we could grow in that experience and appreciate that experience and deepen that experience in ways that might surprise us. Maybe we have no idea that there's a dinosaur out there, right? But it could just be that we're going to have that experience on this journey. And again, we're just going to take the pressure off. So, you know, maybe not, but maybe something different will happen as we take this more lighthearted, more adventurous approach. So what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks. Today, I just want to, today's called Exploring the Territory. So we're going to kind of, if you like, enter the game, this sort of universe of experiencing God. And we're going to look at three things today, really. Firstly, I want to kind of ask the question, is it possible that perhaps in this universe, on this God quest, you know, because we're in a real life game, if you like, is it possible that God actually is everywhere? God might seem hidden, God might seem absent, God might seem, but perhaps God is everywhere. And secondly, perhaps, maybe, we have an almost infinite capacity to experience God. That we have what it takes to have this deeper experience. And so we're going to explore those two things. But first of all, I want to look at, I guess, something that comes up as we think about those two questions. And that is, if God is everywhere, and if we do have infinite capacity to experience God, why don't we experience God more? I mean, there's this sort of problem, right? And I you know, that's a problem to me. My experience of God is nowhere near what I feel I would want it to be. And I figure that probably is true for most of us. And sometimes, we actually feel that God is absent. So this issue of that problem or that struggle, that tension, is the first thing I want to address today. And I want to look at it by considering what might be holding us back. What might be holding us back from that potential experience, that potential divine experience. And I want to look at basically the way we see reality. So, I mean, philosophers, theologians pretty much agree on three ways that we know what we know. Okay, this is, how do we understand reality? How do we understand what we're looking at? How do we understand the God quest universe? And those three things are tradition, reason, and experience. And obviously, we're going to be talking a lot about experience over the next few weeks. Tradition would be, and by the way, you know,
A lot of philosophers have taught this way. John Locke is an example of that. And you may recall, we've talked frequently here about the Wesleyan quadrilateral, right? It sounds very similar, which is reason, experience, tradition, and scripture. And I would include scripture in tradition there. Scripture is part of a religious tradition. So, you know, these are, I think, familiar concepts to us in many respects. Tradition is basically the cultural, family, perhaps religious traditions that have gone before us that basically create a framework through which we see everything, right? We, as we grow up, we see things pretty much the way our families see them, the way our cultures see them. If you're born in Spencerville, Maryland, you're seeing the world in a very different way than if you were born in, let's say, in Sheffield, England, you know, as an example. You know, and you could think of perhaps even more different cultures that would create a different way of seeing the universe than those two. But we have traditions that form how we see things. We have scientific traditions. You know, we're sort of standing or sitting on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. Religiously, tradition is a really good thing, right? Tradition helps us. We're all from a tradition. Some of us from different traditions. We kind of have our tradition together now here at Cedar Ridge. And that sort of formulates itself in religious terms in beliefs and practices, for one of, you know, just to sort of try and capture that and summarize it. So we have traditional beliefs and practices, and those are good things, right? Those are good things. But they can also inhibit, I think, our experience in some ways. And let's just think about that for a moment. You know, beliefs and practices can themselves be somewhat static, right? I believe this, and I practice this, and I behave this way. But actually, I'm a moving person. I'm hopefully a growing person. And so my beliefs and practices need to grow with me. So if I'm stuck in traditions that don't give room for change, don't give room for growth, that might be inhibitive. That might be one thing that's holding me back from my experience of God, right? Secondly, very often, beliefs and practices become the end in themselves. They're meant to be a means to an end, right? That end is love, because we believe God is love. Let's look at a scripture that I think tells us that in the first letter of John in the Christian scriptures. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So God is love. So these practices and beliefs are meant to lead us to a greater experience of love, which is God, right? But sometimes the actual practice becomes the end instead of the means to an end. And then we, you know, often in religious traditions, in religious cultures, in religious communities, those beliefs and practices get policed, right? Some of us might have experienced that. And we can be just as vulnerable to it here as a community as well, right? Whereas, oh, you need to believe this way, or you need to behave that way, or you should do these practices, you should be, you know, that's how you should be. And we, I think, if we're not careful, end up complying. We become afraid, right? We become afraid of stepping out of perhaps some of our religious traditions. And what ends up happening is this: later on in this same letter, in this same chapter, it says there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So our traditions can sometimes make us fearful. And what are we afraid of? We're afraid of stepping outside the inclusion of our religious communities, right? So we're afraid of being rejected by other people. Maybe we're afraid of being rejected by God. If I believe the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, then God will reject me. But wait a second. God is love. That doesn't sound like love to me, rejecting you just for being or doing the wrong thing. So we might be afraid of others, we might be afraid of God, maybe we're afraid of ourselves. Maybe what's holding us back is we don't want to let ourselves down. Dare we step out of into some new territory, some new ways of thinking, some new ways of being, some new ways of believing? Are we courageous enough to do that? So maybe one of the things that's holding us back could be this issue of security, right, to do with tradition. We want to remain secure in our, in acceptance of self, of God, of others, being accepted by others, by God. And so as we play God quest, as we go out, as we try to experience more of God, maybe we need to be more comfortable with a bit more insecurity. Right? That may be one thing. So, you know, a more vulnerability as we move forward. Now, if we won't go back to it, but we looked at tradition. The other one up there was reason, right? Reason is also a good thing. I mean, thank God for reason. We have discovered all kinds of things about reality, all kinds of things about the universe because of reason. And theologically or spiritually, reason is helpful. Our critical minds are really helpful. We think through things, and it's important that we do that. And we kind of put a big emphasis on that here, I think. And we develop theologies and philosophies and ways of thinking that can be really, really helpful. But there's also a problem or a potential problem with reason as it relates to perhaps inhibiting our experience. Firstly, reason results in theologies, right? Thinking about God, but that thinking about God, that theology, those metaphors that we use to try and understand God, are not God, right? They're just images of God or attempts to God. They point to God. You could say we're really talking about the God, beyond the word God, beyond the label God. We're talking about something more mysterious, more abstract. And so our theologies, our reasoning can never fully contain the very thing that we're trying to experience, God, right? This divine experience that we're on about. So we have to be careful about that. Secondly, and I think we will probably all be able to relate to this, some things just can't be reasoned, right? We don't experience them or fully appropriate them through reason alone. We need things like beauty and story and art and falling in love and things like that to truly experience life, to truly experience this reality. We can't just think our way through it all or think our way out of it. So reason alone is limited, right? And then thirdly, and this might be relevant, I know that this is relevant to me. I feel this one very personally, and I think others here probably will do too, is that we all have doubt, right? Reason creates doubt. We think things through. I'm not sure that's true. I don't know. You know, we doubt all kinds of things, and doubt's okay, but the problem is we're often, we don't want to step out into an experience until we've worked it all out, until we have some certainty. And doubt can become paralyzing. It's like, well, I'm not sure about that. I've got all these doubts. So until I'm convinced, I'm not really going to go on this journey. I'm not going to play this game. So perhaps for some of us, as we think about playing this game, we need to let go of the need for not just security, which was related to tradition, but perhaps the need for certainty. To play this game, we're going to have to probably let go of some degree of security and let go of the need for certainty in order to enter into a potential experience, right? So perhaps those are some of those things that are holding us back. Now, experience, I'm not saying experience is the most important thing or the only thing, right? Tradition and reason are very important, but maybe we've got them a little bit out of balance. And we're so busy analyzing and thinking and so busy trying to comply with religious tradition that the very thing we're trying to get to becomes far off from us. It's difficult for us to attain it. Maybe the issue here is not so much that God is hidden, but maybe we're hiding, right? As we think about playing this game, maybe we need to come out of hiding and say, okay, I'm going to just not worry too much about my doubts. I have them. We all have them. But I'm still going to play this game. Or there's so much that I don't understand. Or maybe I need to lay some of my theologies aside. Or maybe I need to be less secure in my traditional thinking, my religious traditions. Less worried about maybe upsetting people who I would feel would disagree with me, or might want to sort of question my faith because I'm doing something a little different. Maybe we're the ones who need to come out of hiding more and put ourselves in a place where we might be able to have a deeper experience. Okay, so there's some things for us to consider going into this game. Now, the issue of experience, I think, is that's interesting, isn't it? The issue of experience, I think, that's reason right there, but sorry, just struck me.
as we talk about experience, we're talking about love, right? We just said God is love. Okay, God is love. So really, in that sense, you know, God is a state of being, right? You know, we tend to think, I think, of God as a being, right? Most of us probably, and you know, I'm like this, when I'm thinking about God, it's really hard for me to put away a kind of Zeus-like image. You know, there's this being somewhere out there who's kind of doing stuff, and I've got to try and find that being, and I've got to try and please that being, and I've got to try and, you know, just, that's what this quest is all about. But if God is love, then that seems more like an invitation into a state of being. It's like God perhaps is being itself. Rather than a being, God is being. And bear with me on this, because what I want to talk about for the next few minutes is I find it honestly hard to put it into words. And that gets back, I think, to some things aren't easy to explain in a reasoned or rational kind of way. But I'm going to do my best, okay? Perhaps God, rather than being a being, is being itself. And that being is love. And that love permeates the universe. God's being is in everything in the universe. You know, we're talking about exploring the territory of this game. Maybe God is present in everything. And that presence is being. That presence is love. So for us to experience it more, maybe we need to be more, right? Just to be. Instead of analyzing ourselves with reason, instead of checking our beliefs and our traditions, maybe we could just be, and we might, while as we be, we might experience more of God's being and have a deeper experience of God. Now, that all sounds a little weird, right? It all sounds a little weird, because I think our tendency is to think about God in very personal terms. But if you think about it like this, if God is a being, then that could be like looking for a needle in a haystack, right? We've got to explore the whole freaking universe of this game to find that one being. But what if God is being itself and is present in all of this game? Then we are more like that metaphor we've used before. We're like sponges in an ocean, right? We're in that game already. We're in that universe. And God is all around us and God is in us. And perhaps if we could wake up to that and realize that more, we would have this deeper, more profound experience of God, right? Now, again, this sounds a little strange, you know, because I think partly we're used to thinking about God in terms of a being. But the Bible talks about Jesus in these kinds of terms. Let's look at a few passages, okay? We're just going to look at some. The first one is in John, the Gospel of John. We were looking at the letters of John earlier. This is the Gospel of John. And right at the beginning, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And this whole chapter here is referring to Jesus. It's like a prologue, an introduction to the story about Jesus. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So this doesn't sound like a distinct being, right? I mean, it's using some of that language, but it's saying that everything was made through. Think about these prepositions here. So all of creation was made through Jesus. That's essentially what this is saying. Through Christ, through the Christ. And later on in this same chapter, it says that word, that this whatever he's talking about here, was made flesh. So this reality, this creative reality, this creative force of the universe, however we would try to summarize those five verses there, actually became an incarnate, a human, flesh-like individual like any one of us. Jesus of Nazareth embodied this mystery, right? Jesus incarnate embodies this mystery. But there's something beyond just the physicality of that, right? There's this essence of God that is being embodied in Jesus, and that's what I'm talking about here. This essence, this being
that we're talking about here. Let's look at another one. And I think as we look at some of these, we'll kind of maybe gradually build a picture of what I'm trying to talk about. This is from the letter to that Paul wrote, Colossians. It's the first chapter. It says, the Son, so again, talking about Jesus, but in very mystical terms, really. The Son is the image of the invisible God, right? So that's that sort of incarnate image of a greater mystery. The firstborn over all creation. For in him, so think about these prepositions. In him, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So in this mystery that Paul here is talking about, the whole of the universe is held together. That doesn't sound like a being. That sounds like something much bigger, much perhaps more difficult to get our reasoned minds around. But perhaps that is the kind of experience that we might be after. Let's look at another one. This is from... there's a bit more. Let's look at the rest of Colossians here. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased... So listen to these words. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. So Jesus, everything of the universe, is, if you like, is held together in the Christ. And God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So we'll talk more a little bit about this next week, the means of love, the way love operates. This mystery, this love mystery, if you like, is reconciling and bringing everything together. In Ephesians, again, letter by Paul, he's trying to get his head round. Okay, what are we talking about when we talk about Jesus? He says this, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Okay, so he's talking about a different kind of knowledge here. This isn't just about reason knowledge, intellectual knowledge. He's saying, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Next part. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. That's kind of hard to get your head around. So in other words, what Paul seems to be saying here, and let's remember, Paul comes from a tradition, right? He's from a Hebrew tradition, a Jewish tradition. He was a Pharisee. So he's using a lot of that kind of language. He's also well-schooled in Greek philosophy. So he's using some of that language too. So he's using his traditions to put language to and trying to work out in a reasoned kind of way this divine mystery. What on earth is God, if you like? What is it we're looking for in God Quest? What is it we're trying to experience? So maybe, sorry, can we just keep that one up there? It's saying that the church, that's us, right? That's people, and I don't mean just us, but people in general, is his body. So we're an incarnation too. If God is in everything, then we're part of that, right? We're an incarnation. We're the fullness of him, so we are the fullness of Jesus, but it's like this mystery of the Christ, right? It's the mystery behind the physical Jesus, if you like. And that mystery fills everything in every way. So we're the fullness of the thing that fills the whole universe. I mean, it's like, that kind of blows your mind, I think. And we're clearly talking about something mysterious, right? I think we could at least say that. One more from Ephesians, and then we'll try and wrap things up a bit. I pray that out of his glorious riches... Oh, sorry, is this from the same... This is from the same passage, right? Maybe we could go to the next one. Thank you. I think it's the next one. Ephesians 3. Okay, was that... Okay, sorry, I'm getting confused here. Was that previous one, Ephesians 3? I just didn't have a label on it there, so... Okay. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Okay, so similar kind of themes here. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, right? So it's beyond knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Okay, so we're getting back to this, being filled with that thing that fills everything, that fills the whole universe. So we're not talking about finding a needle in a haystack. We're talking about being able to experience a profound reality that is everywhere, all the time. That is the very fabric of the universe. That is the being of the universe, if you like. It's existence itself, let's say. And again, some words begin to fail us. Now, that would be good news, right? To me, it's good news to think that, actually, maybe God's everywhere, just waiting to be found. God's in everything. And sometimes things in life can be hard and difficult, right? So that doesn't necessarily mean that it's all rainbows and unicorns. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But maybe God is everywhere. Maybe, here was the second question we talked about right at the beginning. Maybe we have much greater capacity to experience this than we might realize. Let's just think about that for a moment. We've probably all had some kind of experience that touches on the kind of mystery that we're talking about, right? I was in on a beach in Florida a few weeks ago, I've told stories about that beach before. It's the Archie Carr National Wildlife Refuge, so it's a deserted beach, very few buildings on it. And I was out about 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm out on the beach, and the waves are crashing. There's phosphorescence on the water. There's sea turtles coming up and nesting. It was a brilliant sky. The Milky Way was just crystal clear, and I stood there, feeling like I was part of the universe. And I felt I felt like myself dissolved into something much bigger, right? So in some sense, I lost a sense of self. But in another way, it was so personal, because this was me experiencing it. It felt so personal, so intimate. And some of you may have had experiences like that. Let me also say, in telling you that, I feel a couple of tensions, right? One is, I don't want you to think I'm a weirdo, right? Or to think like, oh, okay, here's Matthew again. That's, oh yes, we get it. We know you like nature, and that's how you experience God. Maybe you're just very emotional. You know, I mean, okay, so in other words, probably all of us have some tension in even talking about what we think is real and talking about our experience of God, in case it kind of gets rejected or people think we're crazy or, you know, oh, that doesn't really count. The other tension I feel is, I don't want you to feel that I think you should have exactly the same experience. Maybe that does nothing for you. I went to a concert recently with my youngest son, Oliver, who's studying music at Towson. And when it comes to music, my favorite, I love all kinds of music, but my favorite kind of music is classical music, sort of, and romantic era music. And Oliver is studying music. He's really into jazz. And I wish I could get into jazz. I do, because it's so much hipper and cooler than classical music. I mean, classical music is basically white, Anglo-Saxon, imperialistic. You know, I'm sort of the archetype. And I would much rather say, yeah, I'm really into jazz. But, and I've really tried. I've tried hard. I just can't really get into jazz. But he's started to get a little bit more into classical music. So I thought, I'm going to take him to a concert. And we went to see Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto, right? It's a beautiful piano concerto. And there's this piece in the second movement where I never fail to weep, right? I just acknowledge that. Don't judge me.
And there's something about the music. I can't even put my finger on it. It feels divine to me. It feels like there's this divine moment going on. And it's something to do, it stirs up sadness, but longing, but heartache. I can't really put a finger on it. Because he had been getting to appreciate this music a bit more, at the end of the concert, I said, didn't you just weep during that second movement? He went, no. it just went straight. He enjoyed it. He thought it was great, but it really didn't move him that way. And that's my point being, we all access and connect with this mystery in different ways, right? And so me telling you how I connect is not me. Firstly, I don't want you to judge me, and secondly, I'm not trying to impose that on you. Because we've got to find our own way, right? We've got to play this game, this God Quest game, if you like. We've got to play it ourselves in our own way. Now, we play it with other people. We're going to talk about that one week as well. But this experience, I believe, we have, each of us have capacity for it in our own unique kind of ways. And we know it's true because we have had some experiences like that. Maybe it wasn't on a beach in Florida. Maybe it was watching a movie. Well, maybe it was looking at a piece of art or listening to some other kind of music. Maybe whatever it was, or maybe it was in a relationship. Maybe it was when you fell in love. Maybe whatever it was, we've brushed with that at times. So we know it's possible. We know it's possible. Secondly, think about this for a moment. Our human consciousness is absolutely unbelievable. It's kind of unimaginable, the kind of capacity we have. Think about the fabric of our universe. In terms of our experience of this universe, I experience four dimensions, right? The three dimensions of space and then the fourth one, time. If there's anybody here experiencing a fifth or sixth, seventh or eighth dimension, come see me afterwards, because I'd love to be able to do that. And maybe we will be able to one day. But in terms of the basic fabric of our universe, the space-time continuum, we have an amazing capacity to transcend so many aspects of that. Think about time for a minute. We're in this present moment, which is already now in the past, right? The future is just coming at us and it's already in the past. But we can go back to the past, right? In our consciousness, we can smell things, hear things, feel things right now. And this has happened to every single one of us. And we go right back, right? You hear something on the radio. You have a smell of something. And we are transported back in time. And we actually feel something back in time. We experience it. It's like we're living in the past for a moment in our consciousness. Or we think back to the past and we experience something like a painful situation, a joyful situation, and we have that emotion in the present. I can think of things in the past that are almost guaranteed to make me cry in the present. I don't know whether you have that experience. I'm sure you do. Right? So we can think about the future, right? We can anticipate something. Like I'm driving down to Florida on my vacation. I'm enjoying it already and it hasn't happened yet. I'm having an experience about something in the future. Or we might dream of things like, let's start a farm on this property, and then that becomes a reality. It becomes the present, right? We it's almost like we take something from the future and then we haul it in, and it becomes present, right? So we have this phenomenal capacity as human beings. In terms of space, we know just scientifically, we're all made of stars, right? We're all part of this universe. We know, I think many of us will have had this experience where we can feel like we're with somebody even when we're not in the same space as them. We kind of transcend space. Have you ever had that sense where you're thinking about something, somebody comes to mind, or you feel like you're with that person who's going through a difficult situation, or maybe if with a loved one, a lost one, you have a sense of them being with you. You don't have to put hands up, but many of us have those kinds of experiences. The universe is intimately connected. Science, particularly quantum physics and things like quantum entanglement, actually say maybe that's not crazy after all, because that kind of sounds almost like superstitious crazy, but maybe it's not. We have this capacity. Now, what I'm saying is, I'm not saying it's all about controlling our memories and everything. That's how we're going to experience God. All I'm saying is, we have incredible capacity. So this mystery that we want to experience, perhaps it can be experienced. And what we're going to do on this journey together is experience it. So not just this series, but this next year, we're going to just spend time working at developing our capacity to experience the depth of the beauty of God. And we don't need to sweat it. We don't need to worry about it. We're not going to stress about it. Your experience is going to be different to mine. We're all going to go on different journeys, but we're going to do it together because the whole journey is about love. It's all about reconciliation. It's all about coming together. So let me just I should wrap up because I've kind of been all over the map, right, today. It's not like I usually am not all over the map, but so here's what I sort of got these couple of slides. So what the heck am I saying? So what am I saying about God? I'm saying God is. God just is. God is being. And that being is love. And that being is present in everything. What am I saying about us as humans? We are, or we be. We just are. Maybe we should just analyze ourselves a little less, you know. We are part of this everything. This everything that is God, we're part of that too. So we are already connected to God. We're in it. We're like sponges in an ocean. We just don't realize it. We're not always conscious of it. But our consciousness has unimaginable potential to realize this, to make this a reality, to experience this. Now, that all sounds kind of abstract, but of course, we experience God very personally through incarnation, right? So Jesus, the incarnation, the fullness of God. You are an incarnation. We experience God through one another. We experience God in nature. We experience God in the material world. We experience God personally because we are person. We're personable people. We are persons. But the trouble is, what I think we do then is we translate that into God is a being, and we then have to analyze that being. What's that being like? And understand that being and try to please that being. And we get into all kinds of trouble. We get into all kinds of emotional trouble and psychological trouble. And sooner or later, our faith is not helping us. It's weighing us down, tripping us up and making us guilty and kind of turning us sometimes into kind of mean people. The good news is that it doesn't have to be that way. And what we can do is perhaps just relax. Let go of fear. Let go of the need for security. Let go of the need for certainty. And just be. Just be. And so what we're going to do now is a little exercise. I haven't got a copy of the material, actually, but there's some really excellent material Ruth has put together, which is out on the desk outside. Ruth, yeah, so on the welcome desk outside, you'll see God Quest materials. You can download those online. And we have these things each week. Whoa, I don't need that anymore, actually. We have these things each week called power-ups, so coming with the game analogy. So how can we empower ourselves to experience more of God each week? And the ones this week are really about that, what I was talking about earlier, this sense of awe, this sense of wonder. And noticing that. Right, so as we seek to just be, let's take notice of things around us as we're being. Right, instead of just analysing, let's just notice and be mindful and be conscious of the moments in our day where we do feel that sense of awe, that sense of wonder. Maybe through what we hear, through what we see, through relationships, whatever it is. Okay, so there's some information about that in the material, and you will. Also have so there's going to be things that happen to us that we can notice, you know, just stuff that happens in everyday life, but also we can sort of intentionally go to places or do things that we know are more likely to create a sense of wonder, a sense of awe, a sense of connection, right? So maybe it is listening to some music, or it's going out and looking at the stars, and again we'll all have a very different response to that. You know, this one of the exercises in the material is to just take a look at the enormity of the skies. If it's a clear night, that would be a wonderful thing to do. And you know, as I said, I had a similar that kind of experience on that beach a few weeks ago. That's something that connects for me, and I feel this sense of smallness in the, because I'm just one thing in this universe, and yet also a sense of enormity. Like I'm part of this huge thing. So it can affect us different ways. And also, there's that time component to it, and as, you know, we're going to sort of take this now into this exercise I was talking about. But when we look at the stars, we're actually looking at things that are millions of light years away, right? So in other words, we're looking at ancient history, because some of the light that we're seeing was emitted when, like, before the dinosaurs were on Earth, right? So there's this sense of time and story, and this whole story has been going on for 13 odd billion years, and at this point, I mean, as far as we know, we don't know whether there's life elsewhere in the universe, but from the life that we do know, there's only been this level of consciousness on the planet for a relatively short period of time. We're part of this amazing story, and we're in this really privileged place, in time. And so we're playing this game at a very exciting moment in the game, if you like. And so let's have fun doing it. Let's enjoy it. Let's grab it with both hands and play it to our heart's content. And we're going to do that for a moment right now. So we're going to, let's put the final slide up. We're going to just do a little exercise in being, right? Because I think it's, just be sounds very simple, but it's really hard to just be, because we're so busy thinking and analyzing and questioning and all that kind of stuff. So I've got this exercise that we're going to do now, and this might be something you want to do again sometime, and then after we've done this, we'll take communion together. So there's four stages to this, and I've kind of borrowed from different exercises, different traditions. So I'm responsible for this, and I feel a little vulnerable about it, putting it up here. I'll explain why in a moment. But so there's four stages to this. So this might be one where we just sit quietly, focus on our breathing, center ourselves. So I'll talk us through it, and then we'll do it. Just accept. Okay, so the first one is accept. God is present in your reality. So don't question it, don't doubt it, don't fear it. Just accept it. Will you put yourself in that posture? God just is. And God is love. That's the great news. Then let go. Okay, so don't analyze yourself or God. Okay, so is God pleased with me? Is God this? Is God that? Just put yourself in that place. Accept and then let go. Ignore evaluative thoughts. Just let them go. And then this is the bit I'm a little bit vulnerable about. Resonate. I didn't know what... I was trying to get a good word for this. You might laugh at this bit. Absorb God. So we're just accepting God, we're letting go, and then we're going to resonate, we're going to absorb that love and reflect it back. Absorb it and reflect it back. The only way I can describe that is it's like a vibration, it's like a wave, and we're part of the same vibration as God. We're kind of vibrating at the same, we're in resonance with God, right? So I don't know if that's a helpful metaphor. And then as we do that, we're just going to rest and be. Remain in this posture, not worrying about who, what, or how you are, but just that you are. Just be. Right? So I'll talk us through this. Let's just close our eyes. As we center ourselves, it's helpful just to focus on your breath. Just take some breaths in and out. Center yourself by focusing on your breathing, the in-breath and the out-breath. Just feel that rhythm. And then we're just going to accept. So just accept that God is. God is. God is love. And let go now. Let go of evaluative thoughts about yourself, how this is going, about who's ringing that bell outside. Just accept. Now just absorb that love. and reflect it back, love back. So absorb and reflect. Absorb and reflect. Feel that connection to God, to this mystery of love. And as you do that, just be. Just be in that resonance. Okay, we're going to take communion, but you may just want to stay being, and that's great. We're going to do a tradition now, which is communion, and it's, by the way, it's totally okay for everybody to take communion, and it's totally okay for nobody to take communion. You know, it's everybody's choice, and so if you feel like, I just want to stay in this moment and not do communion, that's totally cool, feel free to do that. We're going to take some crackers and juice, celebrate the presence of Christ. You know, we have this personal connection to the Christ. It's so beautiful, right? It's so beautiful. You can write out prayers at the back there, under Grow and Journey. Would love to pray for you if you feel burdened or heavy in any way, or just want to share something. We'll have people at the back who can pray for you. You can give a financial offering at the sides here, and you can light a candle. Lots of different things we can do to kind of express something, but again, you may not want to do that. You may just want to be at this moment. So let's together come forward when you feel ready to serve one another at the front and in the middle, and then we'll have servers who in a few moments will appear at the sides. And you can be served from there. Please enjoy communion.
long